Jonathan Brooks is my guest on today's Road Show. I'm David Warren, your host, and I'm talking with Jonathan about leading a group called Voice of China and Asia Missionary Society. This group has been around for more than 100 years, reaching the nation of China with the good news of Jesus Christ. Again, to reach out to this ministry, you can go to the website voiceofchinaandasia.com, or you can call toll-free 1-877-392-0560, and anybody who supports the ministry and the different outreaches that they do. Again, we'll talk about those outreaches here in just a few moments. You get a complimentary copy of this book called Bondservants, The Story of the Voice of China and Asia. And you mentioned during the break just now that there's a good story in this book that you'd like to bring up at some point. So this is that point. What is the story, Jonathan?
Well, thank you, David. The story is this. Albert and Edna Wright, when they went to China, they went ready to give their lives. And within 2 years, Edna contracted black smallpox, but they didn't know it. And her health was failing, so they thought it was time to come home. They made it as far as Japan on the ship, and they realized she had to see a doctor, so they took her ashore. And that night, Edna's last words to Albert were this. She said, "My stay in China was short. Pray that my life will live on. Do all you can for China. Be faithful, be true, and in a few more years we'll meet again." Well, as I was editing the Bondservants for modern publication, the book's been around since the mid-40s, and so we had to update some things and put in new information. And when I got to this part, it says, "My stay in China was short. Pray that my life will live on. Do all you can for China." That has really struck my heart, and I realized the Lord was speaking to me, that this wasn't just her words to her husband, but it was God's plan for me and my wife. Do all you can for China. And so we've continued the work since then, knowing that we have a purpose. We know exactly what we're to do. We're to do all we can for China. And there was a time later on where I felt like the Lord spoke to me a second time. And a local minister here in town, Jeff Jackson, was with me in China, and we were teaching Chinese how to use a pastor's study Bible. And he looked at them, and he was talking about Timothy, and he said, "Don't quit. Don't quit." And he just kept repeating those words, "Don't quit." And there was about 800 Chinese pastors there. This is in central China. And in that event, I thought, you could feel a stirring going on in the meeting. And I started looking at the people. I thought, God's doing something big here. And Jeff Jackson just kept saying, "Don't quit, don't quit." And he pointed to different parts of the audience. And I just wanted to catch, I thought, man, maybe an angel's going to appear or something. I mean, this is so powerful. And so I started, as I looked around, I thought, God's talking to me. He's saying, "Don't quit, don't quit." And the more he said it, the more it resonated with inside of me. The two things the Lord's told me: do all you can for China, and number two, don't quit.
Let's talk about what you are currently doing for the people of China. Actually, you're doing this for the Lord.
Sure.
And the people of China are the recipients of the calling of God on your life and on your wife's life.
Yeah.
And you know, for missionaries, you both have to be committed as a couple. Do you want to address that? Because I have served in short-term missions, and for a missionary couple to make it, you both have to have a calling to be there.
Yeah.
It works better, let's put it that way.
We're fortunate to be U.S.-based, and our work in China is short-term. So my wife can handle me being gone for short terms. We're on the field very frequently. So we really came to a decision when we decided when it was time to enter China once again for the ministry, because when communism took over, we didn't want the people to risk their lives to be in contact with us. So since 1949, all the way through recent times, 2009, we were the voice of China and Asia, but we weren't actually involved in China in an open way, in a way that we could report. I had just become a father at age 48 for the first time. And at the time, we had a one-year-old son. And following the Lord's command to do what we can for China, I thought certainly the Lord didn't want me to be a father at this late age for me to be absent and in a Chinese prison the rest of my life. It didn't make sense. And nor did it make sense for me to ask our partners to raise ransom money to get me out of prison. I thought, Lord, that doesn't make sense. Is there something we can do legally inside China? And somebody told me that they were distributing Bibles inside China and that these were legally printed Bibles. He asked me if I would sponsor 1,000 Bibles. And I thought, well, certainly the partners of the Voice of China and Asia would not be opposed to that. And then I hung up the phone, and then immediately guilt hit me. I thought, what a fool I am. You cannot distribute Bibles legally inside China. What a joke. And I struggled with it for 3 days. And I finally called the guy back and said, look, if we're going to sponsor Bibles to be distributed in China, I need to be there to see him given out. And he said, come on. So, wow, it was that. There was the challenge. So we arranged to go to China. And lo and behold, we found out that in Nanjing, China, Nanjing at Amity Press, they print Bibles for the world there. I was just there in March, and I stood beside huge stacks of Bibles that said, Kenya Bible Society. They ship Bibles to Latin America, to Africa. I've seen Norwegian Bibles, Russian Bibles, so many different languages, even the tribal languages inside China.
I'm smiling because we've all heard of made in China, but this is printed in China.
Printed in China, yeah.
Wow.
So I asked them, I said, well, if you know where the Bible, based on your Bible shipments, you probably know where the greatest revivals are in the world. And they said, yes, Latin America and Africa. Because even though they're a secular company, Amity Printing Press has captured the printing market for Bibles for the world.
How much does it cost to sponsor one Bible? Like, what does one Bible cost you when you purchase a Bible in Chinese to distribute?
Sure. In China, we say it's a three-way deal. You don't want to just purchase a Bible and leave it on the dock. So you have to pay for transportation. And then you have to pay for the meetings to distribute the Bibles. Mm-hmm. Because when people come to one of your events in China, one of our events in China, they may walk 10 miles. And you don't want to send them home without feeding them. So to purchase, transport, and distribute a Bible costs about $6 U.S.,
per person.
Per person inside China, yeah.
Wow. Do you try to give one per family as a starting point versus one per individual?
We will give one per individual if other family members come. That's usually not an issue for us. You know, whoever's in the church service, everybody gets a Bible.
What translation is it?
It's interesting with the Chinese language that whether someone speaks Mandarin or they speak Cantonese, which is the language of southern China, they all read the same. So maybe they can't talk to each other, but they can write to each other. The words have the same meaning in both languages. So it's really interesting how the Lord's arranged that. No matter what you print in China, everybody can read it.
Okay, but is it translated from the King James or NIV? Or which translation do you hand out?
The Bible we distribute is called the Chinese Union Version, or the CUV. And the CUV, as I told earlier about Robert Morrison, China knew they needed a new Bible. And so for 28 years, they worked on developing a new Bible based on the Greek and the Hebrew, and using the best Chinese scholars that they could. In 1919, they released the Union Version of the Bible. Now, that Bible is basically China's King James Bible.
Okay.
It is, people are so devoted to it. There are some, just like our King James Bible, we don't use the same words anymore like we used to in the King James Bible. And so they went to update the Chinese Union Version Bible in 2010. And but the rural people rejected it. They said, don't you touch our Bible. Don't you change a thing on the Bible. And so, yes, there is an updated language Bible called the New Chinese Union Version Bible, but the people reject it, and they don't want anybody touching their Bible.
Now, something I read about in your literature from the Voice of China and Asia Missionary Society is that it is not illegal to sell Bibles in a bookstore in China currently.
That's right.
But most of, now correct me if I'm wrong, because you know about China more than I do, but most of China is rural China, and they never make it to the city.
That's right. There's 600 million rural Chinese. If you go to China today, you will see the most beautiful cities. The major cities are wonderful, but China does not show you their poor side. And to be able to access rural China, even a lot of the city Chinese people don't know rural China exists. But you take the population of rural China, 600 million people, that's the total population of North and South America. That's just how many poor people there are inside rural China. The way they get their Bibles, we mentioned that they're available in bookstores, only in the open registered church bookstores are Bibles available to be sold.
I see.
So they're printed at Amity Press, and 3 to 4 million Bibles every year are distributed out to 55,000 registered churches inside China, where anybody can go and buy one. You don't have to show your ID. You don't have to say, I go to this church, I don't go to this church. Any Chinese person can go in and buy one. But then you have to realize that's in the major cities. How are the rural people who earn maybe $3 a day, if that? That's a big income inside rural China. In fact, I've been told recently that almost 1 billion people earn less than $1,000 a year inside China. People cannot afford Bibles. And so that's why they don't distribute Bibles to these 600 million people in rural China. They don't have the money to pay for them.
Wow. Now, I also read in your literature that you don't just send boxes of Bibles over hoping that they make it into the hands of the people.
Yes, that's right. Yeah, we verify that the Bibles make it into the hands of the people. We have our representatives there who will go and verify that these things actually happen. We see the pictures, we get the reports back to them. So everything we do in China is verified.
In preparation for today's program, you sent me one of your newsletters, and it has pictures in it. And I love seeing the pictures of, in this case, a Chinese couple holding their own Bible. And this is Mr. and Mrs. Zhang, if I am pronouncing that correctly. And they live in a remote village in South Central China. So tell us about that experience, which is, of course, just indicative of so many other experiences that have taken place over these past 100 plus years through your ministry.
It's really interesting, David, because China church growth is so strong. I asked a local leader, why is it that people, you know, how is it that one area of the church had doubled in like 8 years? I said, how do you account for this doubling of the church? How is it that so many people are coming to the Lord? And he told me, everybody has experienced a miracle or they know somebody who has. So people like the Zhangs. They can either experience a miracle or know somebody who has and accept the Lord, but never have access to a Bible. So they would have to fast, many fast and pray for years to own their own Bible. And that was the occasion for this couple here, that they just believed God that someday they would own a Bible. And a Voice of China and Asia representative was the one that put the Bible in their hands.
For them, and others, it's a true red letter day.
Oh, that's true. Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay, so, you know, the next thing to happen is discipleship.
Yes.
So tell us how you are helping the new Christians of China be discipled.
Sure. Yeah. You have to realize that in rural China, there is no internet. There's probably the people we deal with wouldn't have TV. They don't radio. Who wants, you know, most likely no radio. They've got all evening to read their Bible. Some farmers will take the have a six-week Bible reading plan, and after they plant their crop, they sit down and they read their Bible the entire Bible every 6 weeks until it's time to harvest. I mean, you don't have to disciple these people. The Word of God disciples them. You know, if Americans would read or even Westerners in total would read their Bibles like the Chinese do, you'd see a phenomenal change.
So tell us how you are getting the good news out beyond Bible distribution.
Yes, I'm happy to do that. It's interesting. My wife and I were up in just out of Harbin years ago. This is probably about 2011. And we saw, it was a lady pastor up there. In fact, most of China's pastors are ladies. If the men become the pastors, then they'll most likely get arrested. But it's less likely for a woman to be arrested. And so if the husband gets arrested, the woman becomes a pastor anyway. So a lot of men support their wives in the ministry. And so we were up in an area, and there was a lady pastor. They were building a church. And we could see the mud brick forms that they were using to build this church. And I had $200 in my pocket. And I thought, you know what? With $200, I bet we can finish building this church. So I asked the lady, and I said, what is it that you really need? And she said, we need training. I was dumbfounded, David, because it was the first mission field I'd been in the world where money was not the answer. She said, we need training. So we went back to our coordinator, and in a year or so, we found out that there is a Chinese pastor study Bible. It's a 2,000-page study Bible that China allows to be distributed to their Chinese preachers because they know that there's absolutely no training for most of them. And if they're going to have any training in the Bible as a Christian leader, they need a training book. So this study Bible that we have here that we're looking at is printed. It wasn't printed for the communist pastors or anything. It was printed out of Hong Kong for Chinese ministers to have a good Chinese pastor study Bible. And so there's no political reference or bias or anything. And it is allowed to be printed legally inside China. And if somebody will sponsor these Bibles, which we will do, we can make sure that all the pastors, whenever we distribute Bibles, we make sure that all the pastors, leaders, Sunday school teachers have a pastor's study Bible when we go out.
Well, that study Bible is quite a bit larger than the Chinese Bible that you brought today. So what's a concept that you would train a new, let's say, female pastor,
sure,
that she would then teach or preach to her congregation?
Yeah. Well, let me share a story, and then I'll answer the question. We were up another northeastern province, and a lady said, I've been a pastor for 7 years, and I never knew how to put a sermon together. And so that was after she'd spent time with us. We spent an entire day showing them how to use this pastor study Bible to create sermons. So we show them what cross-references are. It looks too complicated for an uneducated minister, so they just read the scriptures from them. But if you show them what's so precious about the study Bible, like the cross references, like all the notes at the bottom, and then we should introduce what a concordance is to them in the back of the Bible. And I like that part because I've often gotten to teach that, and show them how you can actually teach on different subjects in the Bible. And then we say teach them four steps on how to prepare a sermon. And they just love it because they really are equipped.
And this is such a needed item because they cannot Google things like the modern pastors in the United States are doing to look up scriptures and things to, you know, teaching things.
Sure.
But because you said there's internet access does not exist still in rural China.
That's right. I took a Chinese pastor with me to China. And he says, well, we don't need to teach them these things. They can get this on the internet. And I said, well, in the next time you speak, why don't you ask how many people have the internet? And because I knew they didn't. I wanted him to see it. And so in China, people will respond because they want to be polite. And in being polite, there was probably out of a full audience, maybe two people raised their hand. And I think they raised their hand because they didn't understand the question. And they probably didn't understand what the internet was. So they need these study Bibles.
And how much does it cost to get one of these study Bibles in the hands of a pastor?
Oh, we can do that for $25.
Okay.
It's a 2,000-page study Bible. People here in the West can even get this same study Bible on the internet if they want, but they're probably going to pay $42 or more for it.
Wow. So again, the cost of one Bible to put in a person's hands is?
$6.
And one study Bible for the pastors?
Is $25.
$25.
Yeah.
So that's the way that people hook up with Voice of China and Asia.
That's right. Yeah. There's one more way if there's time.
Yeah. We're pretty short on time. I'm so enjoying this. You're going to come back at some point. But what is that way?
We found that also that many ministers are assigned. They work in the major church in the large cities, but then they're assigned certain areas, maybe a radius of 30 miles out from the church. And they've been walking out to these rural areas to little home churches and little churches out in the rural areas. That's their assignment. We call it heavenly real estate, and we started providing ministers motorcycles to get out there because they've been walking. Sometimes somebody will die, and they show up a day or two after the funeral because they just couldn't get there. Or if they take a bus, maybe there's one bus a day, and then they have to walk for miles once they're there.
Well, and it speeds up the spreading of the good news in China.
Absolutely. The people know that the pastor's going to show up for the service, so they start coming to church more often. And we've just given away our 1,000th motorcycle.
It's a circuit-riding preacher, so to speak.
It is. There's just no horse involved.
Okay, give us your website before we say goodbye.
Sure. We're at voiceofchinaandasia.com. Spell all the words out, voiceofchinaandasia.com.
And the toll-free number to reach you guys
is at 877-392-0560.
That's 1-877-392-0560. Jonathan Brooks has been our special guest on today's Roadshow. Come back. We didn't get into the "and Asia" part of your ministry name. We just focused on China today. But wow, what an eye-opener today's program was. Thank you, Jonathan,
for
being with us. Well, for Jonathan Brooks,
yeah.
I'm David Warren, and it's been another great Roadshow.